Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a great show tonight. There are so many things going on the planet, changes. It's just amazing. I've been talking with all kinds of people that are in the know and that have cutting-edge technologies coming out on every level. And one of the technologies I wanted to talk tonight about was the water technologies that are coming out. And they seem to be coming out through people's garages and just all over the place in labs, and it's coming out all over the planet right now. And I've heard people in the Philippines, running their Subarus straight on just straight water, no problem whatsoever. And it's something that we've been kept in the dark about for quite some time. And if this technology does get out there and get going, we won't be dependent on foreign oil anymore, and so goes the war industry and all those games that we've been playing and dabbling in other countries' affairs. So anyway, I've got Kevin on the show tonight, and I wanted to bring him on to talk about, he's actually been working with this technology, and I wanted to get somebody with a hands-on experience with the new technology to talk about it. So Kevin West, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Perfect. I hear you loud and clear.
Great. Yeah, I wanted to. Now I've heard about your technologies and the water technologies, and it seems to be all over the internet right now. And some of the people that are on the internet are selling kits and things like that that don't really work. I know some people have had some real problems with that actually installed them on their car and they didn't get what they were, anything near what they were expecting, but you seem to have put it together and it's functioning quite well.
Yes. Currently I'm marketing a fuel booster, but the research and development is going so fast. I don't even think that's going to have time to take a foothold before I come out with a 100% water-powered kit. Uh-huh. The technology has been here for 30 years or more. They've had wonderful breakthroughs in gasoline carburetors and stuff, but we need to get off of the oil bandwagon and get on to the free energy bandwagon. And I kind of made the step back when I was younger, about 10 years or so, to start looking into this and gathering a bunch of information. And after about 5 or 6 years of doing that, I thought I had enough to put some, get some hands on and stop doing the math. Everybody is involved in, just doing the math on paper and trying to figure out. It's not that simple. If it was that simple, then it would have been done a long time ago. So I had to put hands on. I had to find out what was not in the math and find out what worked. And, I've steadily built up from there. I have a couple of working prototypes that they're steadily getting broken down and turned back into a new working prototype. A really great advancement that we had about 6 months ago, was I put a fuel booster on some people's vehicle, the BIOS water car, and they got a 50% improvement on their fuel mileage. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I am getting ready to test my vehicle with the same setup here possibly next week, and I'm looking for a 100% increase in my fuel mileage. Needless to say, that's really nothing compared to a 100% water-powered vehicle, and I have to focus on little things to get myself through the larger things, but I recently have talked with a person who worked with the original inventors on this, and they were thrilled to see that I had taken it so far so fast. And I asked them, is there a secret that I don't know of? Can they help me out? And they said yes. So I have a new alternator that I'm working with here. It should be finished in the next couple of days. And I'm looking to get out a tremendous amount of hydrogen, oxygen, like the original inventor, Stanley Meyer, did.
Uh-huh.
This has really been the greatest couple of weeks in my life doing this, because I never imagined I would meet somebody that, was so entrenched in it already, that knew the physics, that knew the electronics, that helped put the transformers together, that helped made the parts to recirculate the exhaust, to you know, to do the trials, to do the failures to get the success. It made me ecstatic to find a person like that. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm following his directions and, almost got that finished. Hope my bench top model works well next week. And if that goes well, then I will just dive right into my big V8 Dodge that I have. I have a V8 Dodge Ram Charger, an 86, and it's carbureted. And I have a big tank on the front of that. And I'm going to just jump right on it and get that thing running off of water as fast as possible. Because it seems like I know all the tricks and all, and I've had all the tips, and I'm just waiting on the money to slowly come in. It just trickles in. So when it gets here, I expect to be finished in the next 2 months with some sort of water, 100% water-powered vehicle. And this is fresh water. There's a lot of technology out there that is using, I want to call it toxic water. If you were to drink it, it would kill you. If you dump it on the ground, the EPA wouldn't approve of it. It might kill some animals. It's probably going to kill the grass and, you know, the foliage or whatever may be around. So that's what I desperately try to avoid at all times, is any kind of toxic water, only fresh water, snow, rain, spring water, something of that effect. And that's where I'm at. I'm so totally stoked to be here. I did not get here by my own ideas. Some people want to refer to me as being smart. I am a good reader. I can follow the directions. I don't have a problem in smashing my thumb or taking a meal out of my day to buy parts that I know, you know, will help everybody on the planet if I could figure this out. And that's my sole intention, is to release this information as fast as I figure it out to the public so that it can be replicated. I was reading some of the inventor's personal words a couple of nights ago, and one of them was how he had to go through all the technical and legal aspects of this to make sure that nobody stole the technology. But he said at the end, if that doesn't really work, he says, this will be a grassroots movement. And I said, well, he's dead, and it never works, so I guess I'm the grassroots movement here, and that's just fine and dandy with me.
Yeah, we were following Stanley Meyer's work for quite a while, and, you know, I watched his Dune Buggy and all the other things he was working on, and as soon as he had that meeting with the military industry to turn this technology over, I just said, well, see you later, Stanley, you know, so, and that's pretty much what happened. But, you know, it's like, I think, you know, a lot of people believe that spirit's going to protect them and everything else, and there's nothing to worry about. But I'm of the opinion, you know, praise Allah, tie your camel.
I just come back from Istanbul, Turkey, and, you know, they're all Muslims over there, and we all have one God, and they say, you know, if you can do it, you know, much praises to you, big guy, because, you know, we're trying to do the same thing. Now, interestingly enough, when I got over there, of course, I don't speak very good Turkish at all. I can hardly speak good English, being Texan. They allowed me to use their search engines, and we found that there was a group of high school kids that got a small engine to run on nothing but water in Turkey for a high school experiment. And I posted a blog just immediately after that called the Great College Tuition Refund Act. And I said, you know, everybody should get their college tuition paid back to them, because these kids in high school have figured out a way to run an engine on water, and nobody of a college education has done that yet.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that. You know, we've got these technicians, you know, we got people coming through here, you know, that are Lockheed and Boeing technicians and people of every nature, you know. And you know, these guys are working on some pretty crazy technologies out there. And you think about, you know, putting something together that ran on water, why these guys can't do it, and why just, you know, any kind of John Doe out there with a little savvy and a little common sense can actually, you know, like you're saying, bust your knuckles a few times and do a few experiments and put this thing together. It just seems like our our science has just sold its soul to the major corporations.
Right. Well, you know, there's the guys out there in the shop, you know, that they would like to do this if they just had some more information about it. So that's what I'm hoping to also do is, you know, take the next step forward and figure out what it is, because this new rewind job on this alternator that I've done by putting the bifiler inductors in with it and stuff, it's easy. I mean, really, we put monkeys into outer space. Anybody in their garage can do this. So, yeah, you know, I have no fear at all whatsoever that this technology is going to get out. I have no fear that, you know, even though the government's been covering it up and, you know, the oil companies have been covering it up, and it's going to get out. You know, it's the truth. You can't stop the truth. You can maybe impede it a little bit, but there's too much there. And this can be made in the garage. And if something breaks, it can be made cheaply, and it can be made abundantly. And you can, you know, tear down bad water and put it back, you know, together as clean water and take the bad stuff out of it if you want to. There's just tons of technology that builds itself on this base.
I've worked with a lot of water technology, and I actually helped a man get out this water where he actually crystallized oxygen and suspended it in water, and you would drink this water and it would raise your oxygen levels up to peak levels. It was just amazing, which is the highest antibiotic you can get, you know, the systemic antibiotic. But increasing your oxygen levels.
Did it happen to be called iridium blue?
No, actually, it wasn't a cobalt blue bottle. But
well, that's what no. I just got. I just got some a 5-gallon jug of this special water, and it's supposed to have restructured into a crystalline structure, and it's called iridium blue, and it's supposed to. Of course, you know, you can't make claims like this, but it's supposed to help, you know, cure cancer and fix any kind of gout, you know, and you know, I wish it. Pull your head out of your butt, you know, I prescribe it to politicians, but you know, it's supposed to do everything, you know, and I think it tastes good, it looks pretty. I don't have enough of it to probably help my ailments, but you know, if it's a possibility. My mom is a cancer research nurse. I give her a gallon of this before she left about 4 days ago, so she's gonna get with her. She drank a little bit, you know, we didn't see any difference, you know, she didn't grow horns or anything, so you know, we said, well, just take it back with you, maybe pass it along, see if it can help somebody or get it tested. So she's going to do that.
Otto Warburg in 1927 actually gave us the cure for cancer, and he said all we have to do is raise the body pH and the oxygen levels in the body, and cancer being anaerobic just backs right out of the system. And you would think that, you know, being that was around since 1927, that hospitals would be all over that and, you know, raising people's pH and oxygenating their blood, but they just haven't gotten around to that for some reason.
Right. No, and that sounds exactly like the way that this gentleman said that this water was being dealt with, was raising the pH in the body and the body being able to cure itself from any kind of ailment if it was in the proper pH balance, which more pH, more oxygen, you know, more of a base, and it would fix itself. So yeah, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, and also I've seen systems that take sewer water and they go through this system and they come out as healing water. I mean, you can take the most putrid, poisonous water and run it through this system and it comes out, you know, pure drinking healing water.
Well, you know, we need a lot more of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think water is going to be more important than oil here pretty soon, especially any kind of fresh drinking water. And I, you know, I know the powers that be are buying up water rights everywhere and wells and you name it. And they seem to be real busy polluting all the other waters and the oceans and everything else. So I know that, you know, pretty soon some of these waters that are in the stores, you know, these bottles of drinking waters, if you do the math, are actually almost or even more expensive than gas.
Oh yes, for sure. Oh yes. Well, and you know, and if we could get, you know, some of those major manufacturers like Coca-Cola or Pepsi to you know, adopt, you know, the healing water. Well, holy hell, you know, that'd bring a new expression to go grab me a soda pop, you know, go grab me some healing water, will you? Well, what flavor do you want? So, yeah, you know, that would be a great thing. I look forward to the future because, you know, I also see things, a healing technology that's hooked up to your PC. It's going to be PC-based, and I see it being like an MRI, and it's going to be a very low-level radio wave type setup, and people are going to stand in front of it. They're going to get scanned, you know, and their computer can send them an email or a text or something, you know, if they got a, you know, if they're going to have a heart attack that day, or, you know, if they need to take some laxative or something. So it's an interesting thing. I see a lot of stuff in the future like that, but I also see it being held back. It seems like everybody that wants something new and is agreeable to buy something new, they don't want what is on the shelf. And everybody that owns the stuff that is on the shelf, they're trying to get rid of it so that they can get their money back and put it into something else. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You know, you shouldn't invest it in the crappy technology to begin with.
But
You know, we're stung and we're hung there at the same time, and it's not our fault. So, you know, that we're going to have to come out of the garages. We're going to have to come out of the, you know, hiding. The first thing I say to anybody that, you know, they have a new technology and they're not willing to discuss the proprietaries about it is, you know, they're full of it. I can, you know, I can get real truth out of somebody who knows more than they do. So,
Usually
the case. Is there any specific question that you had about the Stanmeyer stuff that I could answer?
Yeah, exactly. There are some things. I know that he was doing, you know, a lot of the complications that people were running into were when they ran their water, you know, having enough energy or enough juice to run their car and all the systems too at the same time. And then another thing that I found is that I guess Stanley was using some type of was he using like a radio wave to change the nature of the water before he split it, or was there some other technology involved in that?
No, it's pretty basic. You know, Stanley is a smart guy, but he's not a super genius. So, you know, there's a lot of fields and, you know, in tangents you can go off on, but it's pretty simple. Water likes to crack at a certain frequency, and that frequency depends on the temperature and the cell structure. So, you know, if you was to start out with just a 3-inch tube cell, a 1/2 inch and 3/4 inch, have them gapped proportionally, and start working with your waveform. Stanley had two waveforms. He had a carrier wave and a main wave. The main wave is 5 hertz, we'll say, and the carrier wave was 100 kilohertz. And I'm moving out of the fuel booster and into this exact thing, but the thing is that you need to charge the water. And once you get the pulses going into the water faster than what it can discharge at, it will ramp up that voltage. Okay, well, if you're not ramping up the voltage, you're not anywhere near close to what Stanley Myers is doing. If you're not using a small amount of amps and a medium amount of volts, you can start it at 24 volts. You can come into resonance at 24 volts. That's what I've been told. Now, what I've also been told is I haven't hit resonance yet. So I'm kind of discouraged, but at the same time, the person that told me I haven't hit resonance said they were almost positive I was going to hit resonance last year doing this certain schematic. So I said, okay, well, what do I need to do to change that? They told me, and I'm working on it right now. So you know, there's no success without failures, and that's what I'm doing is I'm trying to rush through this. But he's saying that there is two frequencies, and that once you find the frequency, and I'm going to tell you this, of course, I've been told not to tell anybody, but I can't hold my mouth shut.
Yeah.
If you're getting bubbles, then you're not in resonance. If there are bubbles coming off your electrolysis system, then you're not in resonance. And when you get into resonance, then the gas itself will come off of the top, off of the top layer of the water. It'll just come off. He says that he's done the physics behind this, and he's tried to work it through his head. 6 years, he's talked with many, many different physics from around the world, And he says the most interesting one that brought it up and summarized it all was a guy from India. And he says, basically, you're aligning the water into a metallic-like structure. And since metal is a solid and not a liquid and not a gas, then it doesn't need all this extra stuff that it has. Well, it thinks that it can hold on to it, but it really can't. And that's basically what it is. It's electrically structuring the water to mimic something that it's not. And it makes it think that it is something that it's not, and it can't hold on to itself. I'm from Texas. I probably can't get it any simpler than that. The thing behind it is, though, is, and I'll tell you this, is I'm making about 10 liters a minute with my largest system. And my largest system is pulling about 150 amps. And I told the gentleman, I said, I'm using 21-foot-tall tube cells. And he says, well, he says, he's seen an affidavit of Stanley Meyer from the patent office that said he was using one 3-inch-tall tube cell, and he was making approximately 600 liters a minute, 36,000 liters an hour.
So, yeah, how many liters do you need to actually run your vehicle?
Well, you know, I've heard people quote me over and over again anywhere between 40 and 80, around 3,000 RPM, 80 liters a minute to run the big fat Dodge that I got at 5.9 liters. So if that's the case, I got it covered. But until then, I'm not even close.
Yeah.
What I can do is, you know, is I can improve the fuel mileage, you know, by doing the booster. And on something like that, I can almost double the fuel mileage.
You know, that would be, you know, I have the same thing. I have a big old Dodge Lariat, you know, the big truck, and that thing just, I mean, I watch the gas gauge go down and as I drive. I think it gets maybe 12 miles to the gallon, but it's more of a farm vehicle and don't drive it a lot. Mainly drive it to just pick up materials and haul trailers and hay and you know, we use other vehicles to get around that are much more efficient. But, you know, I was thinking about that. Boy, I love driving this truck, but, you know, it's going to drive me to the poorhouse if I keep driving this the way things are going. So even doubling the gas mileage would be awesome. I mean, it would get, you know, 24, which is a little more reasonable.
Right. Well, and you know, and it's version one. You know, I talked to the gentleman. I said, you know, it kind of puts me far off. You know, he says, don't worry about it. Version one is a fuel booster is okay. It's going to be easily acceptable by the country, the government, and whatever. He says, it's a 100% water powered vehicle. So, I talked with another gentleman to verify this original person's identity and his knowing and stuff, and he says, yeah, he is exactly who he says he is, and he's seen him for 15 years plus working with the Orion Group, working with Stanley Meyer, working with Stephen Meyer, Stanley Meyer's twin brother, and he knows what he's doing. He put together electronics and stuff for Stan and Steve, and he's who he says he is. So I have faith in this guy, and one of the other things that the intermediary guy who verified who this person is told me, I said, you know, is there any secrets? I said, have you not told me any secrets? And he says, probably the only one that he hasn't told me is about the recirculation of your exhaust. He said, when you get the hydrogen oxygen going into your vehicle, he says, you don't need any more oxygen out of the atmosphere in there. He says, so you need to loop your exhaust or take some exhaust and port it back into the intake so that you can use a filler so that the pistons can compress and explode and all that other good stuff, so that you can use a filler in there that doesn't have a lot of oxygen in it. And he says, by running your exhaust back in there, you can do that. You will keep your original and the best air-to-fuel ratio. And that's what I think my problem is on the Dodge now, is an air-fuel ratio mixture with my hydrogen, and I have it ported to go right in over my valves and splitting the water into a milky white goo, misting the hot water into a vacuum so it boils at a lower temperature, trying to release all the hydrogen, oxygen, and the water humidity from the air. That was one of Stan's little tricks, is that he would mix the humidity and the exhaust gases with the hydrogen and oxygen to slow down the burn rate.
Mm-hmm.
So, they said,
I've heard of another group doing that too, where they are using the exhaust, from the, part of the exhaust to reburn, but they're still using fuel and they're using water too. So they're using water, fuel, and exhaust, and I guess they're getting some pretty good results from that.
Good, good, good. Well, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good to hear this is getting out, all over the place. Because I must have like 8 or 9 friends that have either toyed with this or know somebody that's building it in their garage, and some people that are very close to, running 100%. And they're actually running small engines on 100% water with no problem. And they're trying to get it up to a larger engine. But, I hear this everywhere. It's coming out all over the planet. And, I don't get out in society very much. I try to stay away from society. And I think about that. If I'm hearing about this, it's got to be happening everywhere.
It's not. We are still an underground. I constantly bombard people with this information, and they are in absolute, utter denial. They flagrantly say, oh, no, and I go, well, do you believe that the oil companies are going to do something to get you off of oil? Or do you believe that the car companies are going to do something like that? They don't know how to answer that. Sometimes they say, I just think, well, okay, if that's the way you want to believe,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that, I'm not hearing it in the news, although it was in the news. There was actually a police force, I think in California, I can't remember exactly where, that was running their cars on an oxygen, a water mix, to save the fuel costs and everything. They're doing everything they could because they're on a very tight budget and had to actually shut down a few patrol cars because they just couldn't afford the gas anymore. That hit the mainstream news.
Well, but I've heard of cops seeing UFOs before. There ain't nothing a cop's going to say that's going to be on the mainstream news for more than 30 minutes, I think. So, yeah. It's got to come hard. It's got to cut. It's got to be many, many cuts at one time. So I'm personally looking into starting a distributorship of this as soon as I get this, fully set up. I do have help now from a person who was with the actual original inventor, so I'm stoked. I couldn't be more happier.
Yeah.
Broke as a stick, but happy as a lark. So I'm just going forward. I don't care. There's a lot of people out there that they can't afford a part, or they got away, or the kids are starving, or the wife is crying for new shoes, or, I understand all that. I don't have a wife, I don't have kids, I don't need new shoes, and the guy that gets my rent every month, he's lucky, because I would spend it all in parts, every month if I could. It's just, there shouldn't be an excuse why people wouldn't want to do this. The best investment you can ever make is in yourself. So, and if you help somebody along the line, well, holy hell, maybe you made a friend.
Well, maybe you can put together a website with some, with a PayPal button and go into research. And, I'm sure there'd be some listeners that would love to help you out, to get this going.
Well, I tell you what, I will be happy to put a donation button on my website tomorrow. If you want to leave the link up to me on your website to me, that'd be wonderful. I don't have a donation button right now. I want to show people that the brokest
but the brokest, poorest guy, farthest away from society, with no job, can make one of these, and they don't have to live in the slave society of the banks and the oil companies.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with a little help. I know we ran into some severe legal problems with the stuff that we're doing here that the county took a dim view on, and we asked for help, and it was amazing. I could not believe how supportive people were and how generous people were and how many people want to see this information getting out. And we bring out the cutting-edge archaeologists, physicists, people all over the world that are turning the world upside down with their new findings and new information. And so, people are really supportive of anybody that's pushing the envelope and trying to, get something out that's going to assist humanity in the earth.
Well, anybody can send me an email. My email address is kevin@waterforfuel.com. You can go to my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/waterforfuel. I just took all my videos off of YouTube, but I'm going to be putting some new ones up there of the booster systems and the new test alternator, and that's YouTube/waterforfuel. I know there's a lot of people out there, and they would be willing to give, hand over fist, and I hate to take money from people. That's my problem. Without showing them something in return. So, just words, they're really not worth anything. So, if somebody does, want me to show them what I'm doing right this very second, I'd be happy to. I'd be ready, willing to make some videos again real quick and show people. Donations, the smallest one works, the largest one works even better. It's the good energy. It's the good people that put forth the energy, that I need. I need blessings. I need prayers. That's more important than money any day. I'm doing this to help somebody, I don't know who they are and I don't know where they're at, but I hope that I help them, and, it'd be great if I could get the same thing.
Yeah. Basically, the bottom line is motive and intent, and if your intent is to help out humanity and to bring some clean technology out, it'd probably be a good idea just to be open to allowing others to help you do that, because, this is a big job, and I've been in the same shoes you were in before, where I was doing, and I still do that. I really like to do everything on my own as much as possible, and then, when people start making all these crazy claims, saying you this, that, this, that, I go, wait a second, I'm funding this through my pocket, not anybody else's. So I've always been that way, and it's been a real detriment, but I got to a point where I said, wait a second, this is much bigger than me. This is much, much bigger than me, and there's no way I can do what needs to be done on my own. So there are people out there that really believe in turning, the tide and turning this planet around and making some changes that are beneficial. So who knows? They'll probably connect with you or send you an email or say, hey, I want to help you out, and just to get you, get you the parts and hey, maybe a Big Mac at the same time.
That'd be great.
Keep yourself going.
I'm sorry?
I was saying, you got to keep yourself going, you'll never get the thing finished.
Well, and if it wasn't for the people in the garage, we wouldn't have technologies. If it wasn't for the hackers out there, we wouldn't have security. You have to, learn where your roots are at. So now when I went over to Turkey for that little while, the guys that were, working with me over there, they said, we've been working on this for years, and we've been talking with people about this for years, and you've made more progress, being a hermit and, reading the directions until they, you literally pass out all the time, and you put more effort and made more progress than we have. We got money, we got electronics, we got degrees, we got nice cars and Big Macs, and I said, I can't describe it other than, you know, putting yourself, paying forward. You know, being poor is not, you know, as shouldn't be looked down upon as it is. But I'm poor, super rich in wealth and knowledge. You know, that's how I weigh my wealth is in knowledge. So the willingness to grab a hold of that hot wire and tell you if it's working or not, to, you know, understand, to be able to do a little bit of math, you know, it's not hard.
No. Well, you know, I've always said, you know, the real wealth is what you take with you, you know, after you leave this plane. And it's not about material acquisition and those little green pieces of paper. You know, it's all about how you treated others and you know, what kind of service you've done for humanity. That's
exactly.
Basically all you take with you.
Exactly. That's exactly.
The you know, we've got let me see here. We've got, unfortunately, I don't. Maybe our engineer can shoot them to me. Right now, I'm in another location doing this radio show. I don't have the call-in numbers, but I was wondering, would you be open to answering some questions if people wanted to call in?
Sure.
All right. And for those of you who are on the net, you know, that are watching the show, that have the BBS, just go ahead and pop it up, and the call-in numbers are there, but I'm sure they're going to shoot them to me. I should have these things written on my forehead. Or something, because I'm always moving around. But
and, you know, the thing is being a hacker, I like organization a little bit. You know, probably not in my sock drawer, but I like it on my computer. So
yeah.
I've organized all the stuff that I've learned, and you know, and information from different people that I'm putting together. There's a couple of different people, inventors like Henry Picard, the Exigen guys, the patent from Stephen Meyer, who is Stan Meyer's twin brother, that was done in 2005. All this information is on a DVD that I sell. So, you know, if somebody wants to contribute to the project, I mean, you know, that and be a backup of all the information, you know, that would be great. That's the best way to contribute, is to, you know, not just give a little bit of money, but get some knowledge out of the deal. You know, get something that you can go back to. You don't need to be hooked up to the internet. You don't have to have your phone turned on. You know, you can sit in front of your computer and you can read this stuff. You don't have to print it out. The books have been scanned in. Videos from, you know, late 80s, early 90s, things like that, found off of YouTube. All of my research that I've done, and hundreds of others. I put them all right there in one place so people can access that information. You know, and it's not a lot of BS. There's, you know, there's not a lot of alien stuff and, you know, how to make frogs have 10 legs or something. There's just straight up water for fuel information on there.
Great. Let me give these numbers real quick if anybody wants to call in. The numbers are 888-815-9756. Again, those numbers are 888-815-9756 or 530-431-4522. So if anybody wants to ask a question about this new technology, or you have something else on your mind, or you want to share, feel free. Now, I just talked to Paul Hellyer, who used to be the Canadian Defense Minister, and some other people in the know, and I can name quite a few people that have actually worked on these black projects, you might say. And you know, they have fuelless energy technology, they have anti-gravity, they've got counter-gravity, they have all of this technology. And I do believe this water technology is very important. It's a major step in the process, but I think we're not too far away if they would release this other technology that we wouldn't even need fuel. We would be, you know, using vehicles that were fuelless, anti-gravity, zero-point technologies, and you know, we'd be going the next step where it wouldn't even need tires.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we could eat a Big Mac and throw the trash in the glove box, and it would eat it up, you know, and get us on down the road. There's, you know, there's amazing amount of technology that's waiting at the door, especially in the military machine. There's there's an amazing amount of technology in the military machine, and it's all sitting there, you know, not for private sector. The private sector doesn't care. They're about making money and, you know, buying the crap that's on the market. And the public sector, they're the ones who need it. They're the ones that need the, you know, the what? Okay, I'll figure it out. You know, they're the ones that need the, they're the one that needs the health care, the free health care, the cleaner air, the better environment. You know, it's, there's so much waste in America. And if there's that much waste in America, it's all over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. I talked with Paul Hillier about that. And we're talking about how if you had this technology, that they, you know, there's mountains and mountains of corn and wheat and grains that, I mean, they're full, it looks like rolling hills. There's so much of it that we have taken off the market to keep the prices up or for some other reason and just let it rot, you know, let it just turn to nothing. And you know, they weren't even using it for cattle feed. It was unbelievable. And you know, I'm going with all these people starving, you know, in all these other countries and things like that. I go, why don't you, you know, start shipping this out to these people, you know, get some money together, some funding and ship it out. And they said, well, we can't afford the fuel to get it out there. So that would solve that problem. But I think there's more to it than that because the fuel is not the problem. There would be people that would contribute to get this wherever it needed to go. If it was available, manufactured lack and planned obsolescence and all of these things at play that are just tearing this civilization and this planet down.
Well, no, I think the government is actually the problem, and I'm going to run for president. I don't see a better platform in running for president ever as offering the people free fuel, free electricity, and a clean environment and doing it all. So I'm going to work on that this year. I mean, I'm steadily working hard on making the technology happen, so I'm sure it's just a couple of interviews after that I can run for president. I think it's the government that's holding everything back. They've gotten into business. They've gotten into taxes. They've gotten into environmental issues. You know, all that stuff would be cured if we were using water for fuel. Mm-hmm. And I think they're more scared of losing their job. What they don't understand is they're not going to lose their skills unless they're already skillless, which we know a whole bunch of people are just, they're sheep. They're running around in circles and they're perpetuating a slave system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that they're scared. You know, it's coming to an end. This is the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah, it's very clear. You look at where things are going and it's unsustainable. You know, the economic system we have right now and what's being done is completely unsustainable. You know, and you know, you look on every level and what we're doing to the environment, you know, and you know, that's totally unsustainable. And you know, all the wars and everything we're in and the escalation of these wars, I mean, what happens when that continues to escalate? Where does it end up? It ends up in an unsustainable nuclear exchange. So, you know, there is nowhere to go with this other than we just have to totally reevaluate and take a long, hard look, you know, with brutal honesty at where we're going and how this is affecting humanity, the Earth, and do a total 180.
Yeah, I, you know, yeah, peace sells, but who's buying? You know, that's what the old Megadeth song. And, you know, and they're exactly right. You know, there's so, all the poor people out there I've been contacted by, you know, just run-of-the-mill everyday Joes all around the planet, India, Pakistan, Russia, Alaska, everybody. And they're going, you know, we apologize. We apologize for our government, we're poor. We want this. You know, please just ignore what our stupid government does, the politics, our politicians. Just ignore them. Please do what you're doing. Don't get discouraged. And that, you know, those, I think about those people in 9/11. You know, it would have never happened. It would have never happened, dude. It would have never happened if this would have come out and Stanley Meyer was allowed to bring this onto the market like he wanted to.
know, at the same time, I heard that Stanley was his own worst enemy, that he, you know, he neglected to make the big deal. They were right there. They were standing in front of him and waiting on him. Stanley was a Bible thumper. You know, God bless ever all the Christians out there that are Bible thumpers. But, you know, you, sometimes you got to shake the hand of the devil to do God's work. And when you got to do it. There's no time to back off and piss and moan and groan about it. You know, there was a tobacco company that offered Stan a big lump of change just to drive the vehicle around, and the guys ran back to him, and he'd taken the VW completely apart, and they were going, "What are you doing, dude? We got an awesome deal hanging here by a VW thread, and you're taking it apart?" And he goes, "Yeah, it just wasn't good enough, and besides, I don't want to do business with, you know, with tobacco companies." You know, I heard that they wanted to put an alcoholic beverage, an O'Doul sticker on the side of his thing. And he goes, "Well, doesn't O'Doul have some alcohol in it?" And he said, you know, the guy said, "Yeah, you know, you have to drink 14 cases to get over the headache, to get the buzz. But, yeah, it has a little alcohol." And he says, "I don't want to do it." Me, you know, if Jose Cuervo wants to sponsor my vehicle, dude, right now, I'll take that. I mean, you know, I just had some. So, you know, if Wild Turkey's out there, hey, you know, I don't care who wants to sponsor it. You know, just as long as they come on, they get off the friggin' fence. Because
once it's out there, you know, and people see it's possible and it goes out there big time, you know, everybody's going to want it and demand it. And so it's just a short matter of time before, you know, the whole world shifts around on this thing. So, you know, I agree. You know, we can't be too rigid on anything. And there's an old saying, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And, you know, that's not a bad idea to keep an eye on things. And sometimes, you know, I had one of the people I talked to, he said, you know, there needs to be greedy people out there, because those people that want to make a buck on this thing and that are motivated to go in that direction and everything else, he said, that's the only way it's going to get out. And, you know, I didn't agree with him at the time, but the more I think about it, I said, you know, that's probably the only way this is going to go out, is for somebody be looking at some huge numbers and saying, "Hey, I can make millions off of this," and then just put it together and get it out there, and then it'll get out on in a really big way.
Right. Well, and at the same time, but what if somebody just wants to help the environment? How would they be repaid? They'd be repaid by their children's and their children's and their children's lives after that in a wonderful environment. So
exactly.
It depends what kind of person, you know, and what motivates that person. Because, you know, there's a lot of different things that motivate different people. And money isn't always the one. Me,
I agree.
Like you said, I'm in the afterlife party. I know there's going to be somebody welcoming me in going, you know, "Great job, dude, attaboy. You really stomped them a new mud hole. Good job." And, you know, and I'm going to look back and go, you know, maybe it wasn't so hard after all. I could do better again. Throw me back down there.
I have second thoughts about throw me back down there again after what I've been going through here. But, you know, at the same time, it's you know, this is where the action is, and this is where the work needs to be done. And you know, we're this last little planet on the outermost, you know, edge of the Milky Way that it seems the rest of the universe has forgotten. But I think that's going to be turned around here real quickly.
I do, too. You know, I think that we would be more prone to be visited by somebody if they knew we had a great society going on down here. Yeah, they already know we got great people, you know. So, yeah, you know, you get something like that going, you know, and, yeah, maybe they are willing to pop up. I have big plans for something bigger than this. So I'm working on a single moving part, close to perpetual motion turbine. And it's called EPIC. It stands for Electrical Pulse Induction Compressor, EPIC. And that's what I'd like to see. It's, you know, I don't think we're going to get off the planet much with combustion engines using lots of fuel like that. We need some really kick-ass electrical, mechanical way to get up there. And this engine actually has the ability to draw a stronger vacuum than what's in outer space. So it could essentially suck you around.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I've seen these ships flying around here, and I actually have video of it, and you'll see a void in front of the ship where there's a dark void in front of the ship, and they're falling into that void. They create this void, and it sucks them wherever they need to go, and it's a totally different technology than most of us can wrap our heads around.
Well, you know, if I can touch on that for a second, I recently talked to somebody. Nikola Tesla gave some patents to the Germans back in World War II, and it was to make their U-boats go out into outer space. And it basically relied on a coil in front and behind and above and below the U-boat. And basically, our terms have changed over 100 years. When Nikola Tesla was growing up, voltage was known as force, and amps was known as magnetism. So these terms, when the way that he posed this path, these directions for this, was that this coil would cut the lines of force. And you have lines of force that are on you from all directions in the universe. But if you cut the lines of force, then you will be propelled in that direction. It will basically, like you said, it would make a void in front of you, and you would want to fall into it at the speed of ether.
Yeah, that seems to be where we're going. You know, unfortunately, we're out of time. Before we sign off here, I wanted to give your information again. What's the best way that people can get a hold of you to check on your progress and maybe even help you out a little bit with that progress?
Yeah, they can email me anytime at kevin@water4fuel.com. They can visit my website, and that is water4fuel.com, www.water4fuel.com. I'm putting up a new blog as of tomorrow. I'll put up a donation button for you, and I'm going to switch around some things in the next couple of weeks. But that's going to be the main way, and I'm geared to tell everybody what I'm doing. Of course, I can't tell them as fast as I get positive results. I don't want everybody to just do stupid stuff, you know, and fail. I want to give them the positive results, but that's usually once a week. So if anybody wants to go to the blog link will be up there tomorrow night. Click onto it. You can subscribe to it. My updates will come right into your email. And, and you can also call me. My phone number is there. My phone number is 1-541-908-9400. I'm available 24 hours, though my speaking personality may not be.
Okay. Great. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I'll stay in touch with you. And as soon as you got that working model going, I'll probably be on your doorstep with my Dodge down there. See if we can hook that thing up.
That would be awesome. I'd love to see you hear me. No, and thank you so much. Thank your viewers for listening to me ramble on, and I hope that I give them some more information, some breaking news. Like I said, there's a little DVD with all this information on it, the latest and the greatest. I don't hide anything. They're basically my backup. So as soon as they buy a DVD, if there was anything happened to me, then they would have all of my information that I use to get to where I'm at now.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Well, we're out of time, folks. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and we'll put that up on the site, the contact information. We'll also send it out on the list as well. So anyway, have a great evening, and watch the skies. They're getting really busy right now. We've got quite a large group here out doing a sky watch as we speak, and hopefully we'll have some good footage by tomorrow. But anyway, keep your eyes on the skies, and we'll talk soon. Bye.